Let me pray for us, and we'll get started this morning, okay? God, thank you so much for your word. And God, I just pray, Lord, that this morning that I would do it justice to help us understand what it is that you're trying to say to us. God, I just thank you so much for changing lives, for changing my life. And God, I just pray that this morning, God, that if there's someone here, God, that you just need to speak to, God, that you would do that. God, I pray, Lord, that we would all grow from spending time with you and that we would come away changed. We love you, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that this morning would be all worship for you, giving you glory 100%. We love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. So this morning we're talking about presuming and assuming. You know, I think a lot of us have heard the saying, you know what happens when you assume. And we won't get into that, but this morning we're kind of camping on this deal because this is one of those things that unfortunately we all fall into. We all fall into assuming and presuming that things are going to happen. And there's a passage of scripture that we see that in the book of James that he is constantly kind of just going over and talking about what this has to do with our life and where this kind of falls into place. Because for most of us, truthfully, we don't think a whole lot about it. In fact, we are told, and this is a good thing, we are told to set goals, to look toward the future, to constantly be thinking about what lies ahead. And so our lives, some aspects of our life rotate around us planning and thinking through what's coming up next. And that's an important thing for us to do. But in this passage of scripture this morning, we see in the book of James something that will draw us into really thinking about how we plan and how we set our goals. And in this passage of scripture, I just want to just get right into it. And it says in the book of James, which is chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." And so in this passage of scripture, we've got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to kind of go through this pretty quickly. But, you know, right off the bat, he's saying, you say you're going to go and do this or that. You've made plans. You've set some goals, and you are assuming that this or that is going to happen. Now, normally we don't think a whole lot about that. We don't think, you know, that's a wrong thing to do. And typically it can be that it's not a wrong thing. It can be that it's not sin. But James is trying to help us to understand some things that all of us fall into and we all fall prey to. We all want to think that time is on our side. We like to assure ourselves that time is on our side, and in doing so, we neglect this realizing that we don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow or next week or next year. And so we continue through life and kind of just in our planning mode, we start to turn inward. And a lot of this has to do, a lot of times, with the abilities that God has given us, the passions that He's given us, good things. It's good to have abilities. It's good to have passions. What happens, though, is that we get to a point in our life where we start to rely on ourselves. Our life becomes a spinning round and round, out of control, all about what I have planned to do, what I am capable of doing. And in doing so, we get arrogant. Arrogance is one of those things that will slap us upside the head. In fact, to the point that in this particular aspect, we overlook something that's a huge deal. And you see in this passage of Scripture, as we just go back and look at it, it says, verse 13, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money." Now all of that is, you know, the planning, and it's the relying on abilities. I know I can do this, and I'm going to go do it kind of thing. And again, it can be that it's not bad, but it can turn against us if we're not careful. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. Verse 14, it says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." And in that passage of Scripture, we are getting the concept of the frailty of life. We're getting the concept that it is important for us to understand that our life is not in our hands. And that's a big deal. And I'll just tell you, I have read this passage a million times, but over the last couple of weeks of me looking at this passage of Scripture, I've been saying, God, why is this here? Why do you want us to know this passage of Scripture? We get that you're God, you're sovereign, you're the man, you're the one. We get that. But why is it so important that James would pen this whole passage of Scripture, that you would speak through him so that we would have this? Why is it so important? And it just kind of came to me that it's really about us keeping ourselves in check. We lose sight of the fact that we are not in control, because truthfully, we want to be in control. We are made in God's image and have His nature, and therefore we want to take on things that are really His responsibility at times. And the truth be known, that control of our lives is one of those things that we will never be able to take control of. In fact, when we attempt to do that, when we attempt to leave God back there and we go out there on our own, every single time we come away with a result that we do not want. Every single time we experience something that was not what we expected from the Christian life, and it's because we turn our backs on God. You say, "Well, Chris, it's hard to do. It's hard to constantly think, okay, I've got to keep God as a part of everything." But I'm just telling you, I do this in my own life. I see people all the time making life-size decisions about their future and about where they're going and about what they're doing, all based upon things in this world. And I'm left asking the question for myself, and I have to just leave it to everyone else to ask themselves this question, but is this what God wants for me? A lot of people say, "Chris, I want to know God's will for my life. Is this God's will for my life?" Look, I can only tell you this. God's will is right here. And I think a lot of us think that it looks like MapQuest and that there's like this one path, you know, to get there. If you ever try to MapQuest to my house, MapQuest will not get you to my house. Because there used to be a road that existed, and it does not exist anymore. And the truth be known is that back in the day, there used to be two ways to get to my house. Now there's really only one way, at least from this major highway, because they shut this other road down at some point. And now it's like a dead end on two ends. I don't know why they ever did that, but they did it. And so there used to be multiple ways. And I think for us to understand that sometimes God offers up options, that maybe multiple options are good options. Maybe one of them is more of the option that we've prayed, "God, I'm looking for this. And you've poured your heart out. This is my passion. And this is what I long for, God. Can I please be a part of something like this?" And then He kind of puts it on the table. Maybe He puts some other things on the table too. And you're like, "Well, I don't know. Which one is God's will?" And the truth be known is that anything that we do, as long as we do it for the kingdom of God and for His glory, that is His will. And it's not that there was just one thing sitting on the table that was like, "Man, if I don't do this, I'm going to ruin the rest of my life." No, that's not it. Sometimes it's more than one option. And for us to understand that our entire life is that way, and that we could get to Nashville 15 dozen different ways from right here if we wanted to. We could take all kinds of different paths, but all are going to lead to Nashville for us to understand that the same thing happens when it comes in accordance to God's will. And the truth be known, He just wants us to desire Him. He wants us to honor Him and to give Him glory. It's a tough thing to go throughout life making decisions, remembering that God wants to be a part of every decision. This passage of Scripture shows James is talking about presuming some different things here. And the different things that he's talking about that we might presume is one of those things is, of course, life. And we see that in the wording of today or tomorrow, that we would presume that we are in control of our life, that we'll just, you know, oh, today, tomorrow, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and we all fall into this. I know that. I'm not saying, you know, you're a terrible person if you've got something planned for tomorrow evening. I'm sorry if you're catching that, because that's not what I'm after here, and we're going to explain this a little bit further in a second. But life, of course, is the big one, but then also choice. That we will, you know, just like this passage of Scripture is saying, that we will go to this or that city, spend a year, carry on business, all this stuff, you know, that it's a choice. And truth be known, God wants to be a part of that stuff in our lives. And James is speaking to a crew of people, and you've got to know this. He's speaking to a crew of people here that really needed to hear this. They needed to understand that they needed to be in check with who God wanted them to be. There's a reason for that, and we're getting there. Furthermore, he is talking about ability. And we see that in the whole, you know, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do my business, and I'm going to make money. I'm going to do it. It's all about me. God doesn't want it to be all about us. He wants us to include Him in on the grand scheme of things. And I'm telling you, life is so much better when we do. Verse 14 says, why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And I just got to tell you, this one line out of that verse right there has haunted me all week. What is your life? And I just want to kind of throw that out there for you, and I just want that to just kind of sink on you, and I want you just to ask that question to yourself right now. And right now you're probably going, what is your life? Well, what does that mean? I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure, what does that mean? What does my life matter for? What do I live for? I'm not sure. I think it means all of those things. And I think God is just straight to the point sometimes and just kind of speaking through somebody like James and just helping us to understand and see that it's important for us to ask ourselves questions like, what is your life? So what is your life? And I find myself asking myself that question and just kind of going, you know what, there's things that my life are about that I'm not sure is really good. I get caught up in the money or whatever it is, just like anybody else, and I'm just kind of left going, you know what, it's too easy for those things to begin to get me to a point where I become self-sufficient and arrogant. And that's the opposite of how God wants us. How do we fight against it? How do we fight against it? Well, in verse 14 and 15, we see some things, and God is being clear here, and we kind of read between the lines here, but it says, well, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. And what he is saying there is he's not asking a question. He's not saying, do you know what will happen tomorrow? He's saying, no, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. You don't have a clue. You're ignorant of what's going to happen tomorrow. You may make plans, whatever, but you do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. There is no way that we could all sit in here and predict what's going to happen tomorrow. There's no way possible. Absolutely no way. And in understanding that, we need to know and rely on that ignorance to keep us in a place in our life where we are going to rely on God. It goes on, and of course, talks about frailty, and we see this whole deal about us just being dust in the wind, for lack of better words. And it says, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And for us to understand that, you know, I think different people take this different ways. In fact, I came up with a few ways that I see people understand this is that, you know, okay, well, basically, I'm going to die. That's going to happen at some point. I know that happened. And us to be in check to understand that every moment of our life is precious and God-given, that it is by His mercy that He gives it to us. What do we do with that? And here's kind of the three things that I see, you know, sometimes even Christians, you know, take this with. And the first one is, it's just like, well, you know, it's going to be short-lived. I just got to make the most of it and have the most fun, right? And I'll just be honest with you, I kind of have a little bit of that in me where I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to make the most of the ride while I'm going to ride it. But I think that we need to do that in accordance to God's will. And that it be for His glory, and that people see our joy in knowing who God is while we are living for Him. The second thing that I see some people do, and I've studied even theology and things and understand other denominations, and some of them to the point that, you know, they just do nothing, literally. They say, well, you know, life is short. I'm just going to do nothing. Because, you know, that's much easier, and I'll just hang out and not have to get my hands dirty or not have to deal with the emotional or whatever it is. And so we just do nothing because life's short. You know, why not just do nothing? And then the last thing is the thing that I think is at the bottom of this passage of Scripture. When it comes down to it, and the importance for us to understand this passage of Scripture, and the importance for us to spend a whole Sunday morning talking about this passage of Scripture, is for us to understand that because of that frailty, that is one of those things that God has put out there, and we have knowledge of, because He wants us to keep in check, because He wants us to humble ourselves before Him. He wants us to put Him first. And you see, without these things that we keep in check, it would be very easy for us just to forget. Forget who our Creator is. Forget who our Lord and Savior is. And this is a constant reminder for us to just kind of keep going back to God and going, okay, God, I'm not in control. It's You. It's You, baby. It's You all the way. And I can't do anything about it. And so therefore, I want You to get all the glory in my life. I want You to be the man of my life. I want You to lead me. I want You to guide me. I want to be humbled before You. You are before anything else. That's tough. That's tough. But that's the reasoning here in this passage of Scripture. We ought to depend on God. You see, this passage of Scripture is giving us a key. I have my keys with me this morning, which happen to be on a thing that I've kept from camp in years past, and usually I get a new one of these every year, and maybe I'll get a new one this week because we'll be helping out with this camp this week some. But these keys represent all kinds of different things to me when I look at them, and I see some office keys to an office that I have in Jolton. I see my truck keys. I see a house key. Got the flames on it. Parents' house key, arcade game key, church building key. I mean, it's just like key after key, and each one of these things represents something. And each one of these things will let me in to something, or they will start something. As I look at these keys and I think about this passage of Scripture, I see a key for our life. We are constantly saying, God, I want to be closer to You. I want to be the best that I can be for You. And if that is true for you today, if you're sitting here today and you're saying, I want to live my life wholeheartedly for You, God, then you would be interested in this key. Because this key helps us to understand our need to depend on God. And it'll help us keep in check for when we get a little good at something, that we don't get arrogant, that we don't become self-sufficient, that we don't try to control the whole thing. And really, this is one of the most important things that we can learn as a Christian, because Satan will use those things against us, God-given things against us, to keep us from growing in Christ. And if he can get us to the point where we're going, oh, I've got it taken care of, I'm in good shape, I'm good to go, then he wins. And this morning, maybe life is just going dandy for you, and you've got it all together. You're not too worried about what's happening tomorrow or any of that. And there are days that I'm like that. There are days that I fall into that. And God always finds a way to check me. Last couple weeks, I have made a new friend. And it's someone that's been coming to our church. In fact, I want to introduce you to my new friend this morning. His name is Cliff Lane. Cliff, if you'd come and join me. Everybody say, what's up, Cliff? Cliff has had an interesting last couple of weeks here, and I just asked Cliff this yesterday if he would do this, so this is kind of spur of the moment to him in his life, and I know that he sure wasn't looking for this, and he's not wanting anybody's pity or any of that kind of stuff, but I asked him if I could let him share just a little bit of kind of what's been happening in his life in the last several weeks. And Cliff, I know we talked earlier, you said that you became a Christian when you were a child, and you kind of strayed away from the church, I'm guessing, in your later teen years and whatnot. Tell us what brought you back to church, what kind of happened, how did you end up here, and how long ago was that? It's been recent, real recent.
That's been about a month, I guess, that I just, looking at everything, and my life's kind of been a disaster for the last 10 years, I guess. Drugs, alcohol, just a bunch of bad decisions. I mean, that's not why I'm going through what I'm going through now, but and I just wanted to find a church that I've been brought up. I had to go 3 times a week. Me and my parents brought me up going to church, and I didn't really like look forward to it. So I've just been trying to find a church where you look forward to going, and I've been bouncing around for the last 2 months, I guess, and found this church, and it's definitely different. Everybody said it was going to be different, and what I just
it's
did.
Okay.
But
tell us what's happened. You started coming about a month ago,
mm-hmm.
And then about 3 weeks ago. Well, let's go back just a little bit. 3 months ago, you had a significant other in your life. And
that fell apart, and I really went crazy there for a little while. I guess that's when I really woke up. I mean, me and my fiance split up, and I went and lived it up and got back into the bar scene, I guess. And that's when I just sit back and was just like, it's not what I want the rest of my life, and was actually going to change because I wanted to change instead of somebody else telling me to. And then I got slammed with, I've got cancer. Just found out that I've got cancer. I mean, doctors were telling me it was a hernia. I went back to him like twice, and he said, but you need to go see a specialist or something wrong with you. And they said, then their ultrasound or whatever called me the next morning, said, you've got 2 tumors. We got to get them out as soon as possible. And they get in there, and they found 4. Took 4 tumors out and done the CAT scans and stuff and said, it's already spread in your lymphatic system, and it's going to go everywhere. And so tomorrow morning, I've got to start chemo. They're going to nail me 8 hours a day. They just said, we're going to hit it hard. And I mean, they're saying that it's treatable, but of course, everybody's freaking me out with horror stories, saying 98% of the people that got it where you got it don't pull out of it. And luck I've had the last 10 years. I hope I'm in that 2%, but I mean, I'm not scared. Everything happens for a reason, so.
You have a 4-year-old son, Brennan.
Yeah, I just seen him disappear.
He's
found somebody
chilling.
To.
He's chilling.
He's not shy.
Cliff's a mechanic, was working for a dealership. He was so sick that he had to go to the doctor on this one particular day, and they would not let him off. Is this correct? And you finally had to leave. It was so bad. This was before you knew you had cancer. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's when they were telling me it was a hernia.
And you left,
mm-hmm.
and they fired you because you left and went to the doctor.
Went
so
for
on
the,
top of everything, you lost your job.
Yeah, went for the ultrasound, came back to close the shop up, and they changed the locks. Couldn't even tell me, hey, you're fired. I mean, it's just something else piled on me.
So all within the last 3 weeks, you had surgery and had tumors removed, found out the seriousness of your cancer, lost your job.
Pretty much. Story of my life.
And you start chemo tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you went ahead and shaved your head because you didn't want to lose your hair.
Yeah, I feel like an idiot. maybe I'll come back with a full head this time. I was.
You know, as I was just studying through this passage of Scripture, I realized one thing about this passage of Scripture. I realized that it wasn't going to communicate to a lot of us where we're at right now, because we are arrogant. And we do think we're in control at times when we're not. And I thought to myself, I've been able just to get to really know Cliff even more just this last week. And Cliff's story to me just stuck out as I kept looking at the Scripture and thinking about what's happening that happened in Cliff's life in just the last few weeks. And just thinking, you didn't see this coming. This was not the planning for today or tomorrow that we usually do. In fact, I'm guessing you probably had other plans. What other plans did you have going on before this?
Really, I don't know. I'm just, I don't know. Nothing's.
Life's just kind of a whirlwind right now.
It's been a whirlwind. Most of it's self-inflicted. I mean, I made my own decisions, but I mean, I realized where I went wrong. And before I even found this out, I was trying to go the right way. I'm still trying to go the right way. I mean, there's a lot of people that would find out they got cancer and just go and live even stupider than I've already lived, but I know something good will come out of it.
How old are you, Cliff?
25.
25. And I think that, you know, this whole scenario just, you know, was a reminder of that frailty that this passage of Scripture is bringing to the table, that this is helping us to understand. And it goes on, this passage of Scripture, and it says, instead, you ought to say, in fact, you said your dad used to say this all the time, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. And the wording of the word evil there is the same wording that is the same Greek word that we're seeing applied to Satan and all of that here in the New Testament. And then in the last verse here, in verse 17, it just kind of throws this out. And I think this is super important for us to get this morning. And it says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And in that passage of Scripture, you know, in that verse, I almost thought that verse was kind of like thrown in and out of place. But then I really just started praying over this and going, God, why is that verse of Scripture right there? I think it's important for us to know that, yeah, when we do things that we know is a sin, that when we do something wrong, then that is a sin. We know that. We get that. But then furthermore, when we don't do something that is right, that is a sin. And in that passage of Scripture, what's happening is that God is kind of capping this off for us to understand how important it is for us to live keeping Him in the loop, letting Him help guide us and set the boundaries and set the map. And that's a tough thing for us to do because, again, we want to take control and we're constantly kind of falling into that. But once we can overcome that and understand that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I told Cliff this on the phone yesterday. I said, Cliff, I really think that there are folks that will be there tomorrow that in hearing what you're going through, and I know, because he said, I don't want people to feel sorry for me and all this stuff. I said, yeah, I know that. I said, but I'll tell you this, I think that there are some people that could get a little bit of an aspect on what life really is. and how real it is that we don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow, that we're not in control. And as much as we may want to be, it just doesn't work out that way. For us to keep God out of the loop, for us to make plans without Him involved is a sin. For us to understand, for us to forget and to not depend on God is a sin. You see, He just wants us to depend on Him. He just wants us to rely on Him. And again, we've said it 1,000 times, but I'll say it again. It's all because He created us. And He knows what's best for us, just like a father or a mother for a child. He knows what's best for us. It's not some big pawn game that God is playing of like, oh, I'm going to do this to you and I'm going to do that to you. And, you know, we'll just see how this goes. That's not it. If we will live by His will, we'll live a life that is so much more of a blessing. So much more full, so much more fun, all of that stuff. The joy is going to come in our life. I told somebody this week that I was dealing with a family member that's going through something that's basically a lifestyle that's kind of surrounded by sin. And I told him, I said, look, this person's going to come back to you because they think they're going to be happy doing this and they're never going to find happiness in that sin. The only place we find that kind of peace and that kind of happiness is in the Lord. If we're going to boast in something, we're going to boast in the glory of God. And Scripture shows us that and shows us the importance of that. And Cliff's story this morning just really kind of brings that to light in helping us to understand how important it is for us to live a life where we are constantly putting in to God, where we are constantly giving glory to Him, we're constantly giving Him the fame that maybe someone might give us. And the thing that I've gotten from Cliff over the last week or so of us just getting to talk is that he just wants God to do His thing in his life. He's kind of given up on doing it himself, I think, at the moment. Is that correct?
That'd be a great idea.
And I think for so many of us, we wait for something like this. And I'm sure that, you know, Cliff would say today, don't wait for this. Just live for God now. Just let Him do His thing in your life right now. Sometimes it's not doing that makes the difference. Sometimes it's actually just living for God that makes the difference. Living a lifestyle that is pleasing to Him, doing the right thing and not just trying to not do the wrong one. I want to pray this morning for Cliff and for us. This morning, this is some heavy stuff, and I'm very aware of that. And I want you to know, I want you to be encouraged in this passage of Scripture that God is trying to draw us near to Him. And in that, we are seeing His love for us, and we're seeing how desperately He yearns to have a relationship with us. And I hope that you can take that away this morning in seeing why He wants us to depend on Him. Cliff, thank you. Y'all give Cliff a hand for coming and sharing this morning. I want to pray for us and I want to pray for you this morning. Is that okay? Let's do that. God, I just thank You so much for allowing us to get to come and to get to study Your Scripture. And God, this is some heavy stuff. It's hard for us to fully understand exactly what You want from us. And it's hard for us to completely understand sometimes the need for our dependence in You. God, I just pray that You would just help us to catch a glimpse of that we would take the key that we have here in You. God, that the frailty of life wouldn't scare us, but that it would draw us closer to who You are. God, we love You and we thank You for this passage of Scripture. And God, we just thank You for helping us to stay in check. God, we want to live for You. We want to be close to You. We want to grow in You. God, as we attempt to do that, God, just continue to speak to our hearts through Your Word and as we seek You. In Your name I pray, amen. This morning we're going to continue to worship. And I just want to encourage you to do this. We've talked about a lot of stuff right here in just a short amount of time. But if there's any kind of a question that you could ask to help maybe kind of keep yourself in check is, what is your life? And the band is going to lead us, and if you feel led to stand, then just jump on up and stand. We're going to worship together for a few more minutes. And as we do so, I just pray that you would just ask that question. Just be honest with yourself. You don't have to talk about this with, you know, somebody or whatever. And you may want to at a later time, but I'm just asking you, ask the question, what is your life? What is your life? My prayer is that you'll be honest, and that answer will come to the top. And whatever that answer is, if there's some changes that need to be made in your life, if you just need to be more apt in spending time in God's Word and seeking Him in prayer, or whatever it is, that you would go for that. What is your life? Sing with us as we continue to worship together.